The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
How can Jesus and God be one if they are separate persons? Well, that's what we're going to explore on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us today, where we are going to try to answer one of the big ones, one of those questions that's kept theologians up at night scratching their heads. If you've got questions, I hope you'll send them to us. You can reach us through email, radio@faithalone.org. Now, we're not just here to answer questions. We also do a National Bible Conference, which is coming up pretty soon. If you'd like to learn about our National Bible Conference and how you might join in, you can go to faithalone.org and click on events. Well, let's get right to today's interesting discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus.
Hi, people.
Bob and I want to welcome you to listen.
We do.
I mean, no one in our families listen to us.
Well, a prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown.
Maybe that's why we're kind of attracted to recording radio here. At least someone's going to listen. At least one person will listen to us.
But listen, Sharon every once in a while can hear some of this, and she's very enthusiastic about the doctrines we stand for, and she shares these doctrines all the time, but in such natural ways.
We know an evangelist, and when he met Sharon, he said, "You could be one of the greatest evangelists ever, because you're not afraid of talking to anyone about anything at any time."
Right. That's right.
Okay, well, here, let's take some questions. Here's one from Bonnie. Oh, I think we took a question from Bonnie earlier, but this is, I think, a different one. How can I help my friend believe that Jesus and God are one? He thinks that because Jesus prayed to God, they must be separate. So that's an interesting question. It's also a hard question.
I agree with her friend.
There are two... Let's see, there are two terms here. God is one, but also Jesus and God are separate. And that's actually part of the mystery of the Trinity, because the answer is...
They're both true.
It's both. Both of those things are true. Okay, now how in what sense are they true? Well, in what sense are Jesus and God, or at least, you know, maybe you can say the Father, how are they one?
Well, they're one in essence.
Yes.
What's that called? They called that homoousion? Is that what it was called?
Uh-huh. So substance.
One in being or substance.
Essence. Yeah. Whatever it is that makes God, God, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, all those powers, eternality. There's only one essence of that, and the Father and the Son and the Spirit share in that equally.
Right. Now, on the other hand... So that would be Bonnie's point, is that Jesus is God. But on the other hand, her friend is right too, is that when Jesus prays to God, he's not going through some charade.
Yes.
He really is praying to the Father.
Yes.
And when the Spirit descends on Jesus, that's not the Father descending on Jesus, that's the third member of the Trinity.
Right.
I think a verse we could use for this that comes up a lot. In fact, I had a friend speak on this at our conference. It's John 1:1.
Yeah.
And he said, "Is Jesus beside himself?" in John 1:1.
Right.
And this is where the word theos, the word God, is used in two different senses. So it says, "In the beginning was the Word." As we learn later in verse 17, the Word is Jesus. Mm-hmm. "But in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." So, obviously there, whoever God is distinct from the Word.
Right.
But then it says, "And the Word was God."
Yes.
So, not only does theos refer to God the Father, but theos also refers to God the Son.
Right.
And it also refers, we know from other verses, like in Acts chapter 5, Peter says, "You've lied to the Holy Spirit." And then he says, "You've lied to God."
Right, right.
So theos also refers to the Holy Spirit. And so the way we put all that together in Christian theology is called the Trinity or Trinitarianism.
Yep.
And that is that Jesus is divine, as the Father and the Spirit are, but yet Jesus is a distinct person from the Father and the Spirit.
Right, and that's the formula, basically. One substance, three persons, or one being, and three is like one ousia and three hypostases or something. That's from the Councils of Nicaea. That's in 325. And then
I don't know how you remember.
Yeah, I think it was 325. But then they had a second one that kind of amended it. But then anyways, then they had the council.
Well, Chalcedon, didn't Chalcedon?
Then Chalcedon came, and that was...
Yeah, you say Chalcedon.
Or Chalcedon. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. It depends if you're sophisticated. That sounds very...
I don't pronounce anything correctly because I'm from Canada. So
Chalcedon.
It's a different... You know,
it's a different
world. It was a mixture of pronunciations.
Yeah.
But anyway, so three persons, one essence. So Father, Son, and Spirit are distinct. They're separate. That's why... Like you say, when Jesus is praying to the Father, it's not a charade. Like, there's a view called modalism. Modalism is the idea that the Father becomes Jesus. Jesus becomes the Spirit. And there are some verses where a modalist can look at, and they find verses that kind of support that.
Now, Bonnie is not supporting modalism.
No, she's not.
Bonnie
I don't know what she's...
Bonnie is just wanting her friend to understand that Jesus is fully God.
Right. I don't know what Bonnie's view is, but that view... would make the prayer life of Jesus a charade. He'd be praying to himself because he is the Father, just not pretending to be the Son, but having become the Son.
Well, believe it or not, that's the view of what? Oneness Pentecostals.
Oneness Pentecostals.
And I think T.D. Jakes is a modalist. He's given that up now?
I think he gave that up. I'm pretty sure he's given that up, so that's a good thing. But no, three persons, they're distinct, one in essence. So Bonnie, really the answer is your friend is not totally wrong. They are distinct. But they're not separate. Separate is too strong because they have one essence, so they can't be separate.
John 10:30, I and the Father are one. There are different ways to understand that verse.
Yeah.
It may simply mean we are one in purpose.
Because then he says he wants his disciples to be one as well.
Right.
And so it can't be...
It can be unified.
It's not
unity.
Like
yeah.
The Thing, you know, that movie, The Thing, where this blob can become different people. You know, okay, sorry, that's...
I forgot that one.
Carpenter, I think, is John Carpenter.
I love
and
sci-fi
people, they're just
movies.
Melding into each other, and no, that's not what Jesus is praying for there. It is one in purpose or something,
right.
Or one in love. Or...
But they're also one in essence. Whether John 10:30 says that or not, the Father, Son, and the Spirit are all of the same essence.
Yeah, and some people might say, well, where do we see the Trinity in Scripture? Bob and I were just going over the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Jesus' baptism, I mean. And when Jesus was baptized, all three people appear.
Right. The Father speaks and the Spirit descends and Jesus is baptized. Also, there's a Trinitarian formula in baptism. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Right. I once saw a list, and I think it has listed something like 60 Trinitarian passages in Scripture. I think it might be at Bible.ca, that website. But there's all kinds of scriptures where, for some reason, Paul and others are always talking about Father, Son, and Spirit, Father, Son, and Spirit. It's not like this weird thing that only pops up once. There's at least, I think, 60 passages of Scripture that talk about it.
Oh, yeah. And I think one other point to bring out is that from a logical and philosophical standpoint, the Trinity is essential. And here's why. If God were one being and one person, then how would God express love without creating beings? How would he express his attributes without others being present? But since the Father, Son, and the Spirit are co-eternal,
right.
They are God, and they're three persons, one essence, they've always been able to express love to one another. They've always been just with one another. They've always manifested their attributes
right.
with one another, and they didn't need to create angels.
Yeah.
They didn't need to create humans. They wanted to.
Right.
Because
right.
they wanted to share their joy with their creation,
right.
and they wanted their creation to have fellowship with them.
Right. So let's say in 1 John 4, verse 8, where it says, you know, for God is love. You're saying if the Trinity wasn't true, then there would have been a point before creation where God couldn't have been love because there wouldn't have been anyone to love.
Well, maybe he could have been love, but he wouldn't have been able to manifest it.
Well, you know, if you're...
How does he manifest love except
if you're not manifesting
yourself?
It, how can you be love? But because the Trinity is true, you have this eternal community of love. Some people call it a community of love. And
yeah.
then I've heard theologians express it this way, creation is part of the overflow of God's love. It's not, God doesn't need us. He's not dependent upon us for anything, but he creates us out of love. And that's right. Why John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, that comes from his eternal nature. So, and that's also a way that God is one. You know, that's part of his eternal essence.
In fact, that's a way Bonnie might be able to talk with her friend is she can use John 3:16 to show the love of God. And you see both Jesus and God the Father in that one verse.
Yes, that's right.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Well, she can then take her friend back to John 1:1.
Right.
The Son is also the Word. He's also called the Light. He's also the Savior of the world in John 4:22. He's also the gift of God, everlasting life, John 4:10 and 14. The one who believes in him has everlasting life, John 3:16. And so I think you can, yeah, bring out the love of God that is manifested. And of course, Jesus also shows his love for the world by dying on the cross for us. There are mysteries. I remember I heard one theologian say, we don't really understand how Jesus is both fully God and fully man. We don't really understand the Trinity.
Yeah.
I mean, we can give some kind of illustrations like the triple point of water, where water exists at a certain temperature and pressure, both as a liquid, a gas, and a solid. But that's really not a good illustration of the Trinity.
Yeah.
God is beyond us. We can't fully grasp all the amazing attributes of God.
Yeah. I mean, I have tons of questions about the Trinity. I can point you to the evidence. But boy, do I have a lot of questions about it.
When we go to be with the Lord, we'll ask some of those questions, and we may or may not get answers, too.
Yeah, we'll take the Trinity 101 class,
yeah,
and I'll probably go up to Trinity billion and one class.
And who's going to be teaching this class? Is this Moses, or is this going to be the Lord himself?
Yeah, maybe the Lord himself. I don't know. We'll see. He was always a teacher. I mean,
that's
that was his
right.
vocation.
That's...
So, Bonnie, thanks for the question. And if you like our show, please give us a review. Write something down.
And it'd be nice if it's a nice review, like a 5 or 10
if
stars.
If it's a nice review. You know, if remember what your mother always said. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it. But anyways, that would really help us, and we really appreciate you guys listening.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture? Well, that's our mission for you. And one of the best ways to do that, we think, is for you to come to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org, and get involved. We've got free daily blog posts that if you get subscribed, completely hassle-free, they'll show up in your inbox. Those that read them are enriched on a daily basis. So come visit us at faithalone.org. You may be interested in becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society, the organization that puts on this radio show. You can find out how to do that and give tax-deductible gifts at faithalone.org. Maybe you have a question, or a comment, or some feedback. And if you do, that's great. We would love to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. You can get us day or night, radio@faithalone.org. On the Monday edition of Grace in Focus, we're going to talk about our ministry plans for 2022. So join us for that. We hope you have a wonderful weekend, and we look forward to seeing you on Monday. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.